Now, what do we mean by this? What is the mechanism of the process? Let me give you just two examples connected with two quite important aspects of all our lives. But before I do that, let me make just one thing clear, which is that the world consists of people in the plural. Society consists of people related to one another in various ways. And it's just the same with the spiritual community. It consists of individuals in the plural. The nucleus of the spiritual community, too, consists of individuals. The FWBO and the WBO consist of individuals, individual order members, individual mitras, individual friends, all of whom are related to one another. In the case of order members, related by virtue of their common spiritual commitment to the three jewels, to their personal development, to helping one another. Now, when I speak of pushing out extensions of the WBO and the FWBO into the world, I'm not referring to the individual action of individual order members, mitras and friends. I'm referring to the action of teams of such persons. I'm avoiding the use of the word groups for obvious reasons. Teams of such persons, teams of such individuals. Take, for instance, the question of right livelihood. This is important because, broadly speaking, we all have to work. Let this be the first of our examples. Right livelihood is an integral part of spiritual life, an integral part of personal development. It's the fifth factor of the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path. And it consists in earning one's living in such a way that no harm is done to any living being, and no harm also to oneself, whether physical, psychological, ethical, or spiritually. Ideally, of course, the way in which one earns one's living should actually help others to grow, directly or indirectly, and also help oneself to grow. Now, even in the present world, under the existing system, the individual can practice right livelihood. That's not very difficult, especially if he thinks, or rather especially if he's not thinking in terms of earning as much money as possible, as quickly as possible, if he's not thinking in terms of success, and if he's prepared to reduce his standard of living to go without luxuries. But I'm not thinking of that. In the present context, I'm not thinking of the practice of right livelihood by individual, or by the individual, as an individual under the present system. The practice of right livelihood in this way will certainly help the individual to grow as an individual, especially if he or she is more determined and more self-sufficient than people usually are. But this kind of practice of right livelihood will not help bring into existence a new world. So in the present context, I'm thinking in terms of teams of order members, teams of mitras and friends practicing right livelihood, as it were, collectively. So what does one mean by this? One means that, for instance, a number of order members, mitras and friends would set up, let us say, a business organization in much the same way as they might set up an autonomous FWBO. I referred to this briefly in the last lecture. What kind of business it would be would, of course, be determined by the principles of right livelihood, as well as by the needs of the movement itself. It would, of course, be non-profit making. That is to say, the profits would not go to anyone for his or her private benefit. They'd be ploughed back into the business itself, or used to finance other FWBO activities. Activities which did not themselves produce any income, or which were even being run at a loss. Now, there are many advantages accruing from this type of arrangement, this type of setup. First of all, those involved, that is to say, the members of the team, would be provided with a means of right livelihood. They wouldn't receive a wage or salary. They'd receive whatever they needed just for their living expenses. Moreover, the work would be shared among a larger number of people than would be usual outside in the world, so that all those participating need then work only part-time. And they'd be free to devote the rest of their time to other spiritual activities, such as meditation, study, taking classes, the arts, and so on. Secondly, order members, mitras, friends, and so on, would be working together. This is very important. Not working together in the ordinary way. They'd be working together on the basis of a common spiritual commitment. Nowadays, one hears in some circles quite a lot of talk about communication, quite a lot of talk about relating to people, but often, one must admit, a lot of nonsense is talked. One of the best ways of communicating with and relating to people is by working with them. In fact, working with people who share the same spiritual ideals as oneself is itself a spiritual practice, itself a means of spiritual development. So in this way, one kills, as it were, to use a rather un-Buddhistic metaphor, two birds with one stone. One not only practices right livelihood, which is itself a spiritual practice, one also works within a spiritual framework, an ultimately spiritual framework, with other spiritually committed people. And that's another spiritual practice in itself. Thirdly, one produces something of positive value, of value to society at large, value to the movement. Could be something quite basic, like food or clothing, or something of cultural value, cultural significance, like books and magazines on the Dharma. The hypothetical business could also be a kind of service, like the repair and decoration of houses, or like, say, catering. And fourthly, from this sort of setup, one would earn money for the movement. A lot of our activities, a lot of the friends' activities at present, are run purely as services. They don't bring in any income. At the same time, there are running expenses to be met. So where is the money to come from? The FWBO is essentially a spiritual movement, a Buddhist movement, so it's difficult to appeal direct to the general public. We don't have any pull with the general public, as, for instance, Oxfam has, or Save the Children, or Christian Aid. And our own friends, our own supporters, are quite poor. We don't have any wealthy backers. So the money must come mainly from within the movement. We have to earn the money ourselves. And business type setups, such as I've described, are one way of doing this. So one can see that there are quite a number of advantages in this type of setup. It provides order members and others with right livelihood, enables them to work together, produces things of positive value, and earns money for the movement. We already have within the FWBO two or three enterprises of this type, such as the Windhorse Publications and the Windhorse Press. Well, so much for right livelihood, for right livelihoods as an example of the way in which teams of order members and others can function in the world, way in which they can push out extensions of the WBO and the FWBO into the world.